Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Good to see you, friend.
It's good to be seen by you, a man who I enjoy seeing.
Every week on
Slick,
Jordan,
huh?
Jesse, Go, we take a look at the polls, break them down, and predict the election for you based on our mathematical expertise.
Yeah.
We know what's going to happen before it happens, not just the polls, also the betting markets, so that we can consult the wisdom of the crowds.
Now, what election? Are we doing local elections now?
Yeah, for example.
Ordinances, dog catcher.
We were one of the only ones, mm-hmm. one of the only podcasts out there. You won't find this. You won't find this on the Slate Political Gab Fest.
Mm-hmm.
One of the only podcasts out there.
Sorry, Dickerson.
That predicted Gilberto Cedillo's city council race here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it was a real upset.
Congratulations to Gilberto Cedillo for winning his city council seat here in the city of Los Angeles.
So what are we tackling today?
Well, I figured we'd take a week off. From polls, from the numbers.
Yeah. No, we've really been cramming people's heads with facts, figures, maps, gerrymandering.
Explainers.
Districts.
I love explainers,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's a time to take a week off from explainers.
Let's just have a little fun this week.
How about this week is a fun week just for us? Okay?
Yeah.
You do four takes for the script and one take just for us.
Oh, this is like working with Vince Vaughn.
Exactly. I'm Vince Vaughn.
Oh, cool. Who am I?
Somebody getting bullied by Vince Vaughn.
Oh, cool.
Vince Vaughn's funny.
Yeah.
I'm
just going to let you go.
Yeah.
I'm just going to let you go see what comes out.
Just wind me up and set me loose like one of those mechanical Vince Vaughns.
And it's just really funny, and it's nice that we're getting people a peek behind the curtain, because every
right.
time I do like an interview about this show, and I will from time to time, you know, we'll set up a press junket, the studio will, or
right.
I'll be on a talk show.
Or you're just at the Grove and you run into that guy from Saved by the
yeah.
Bell.
Oh, it's a Universal City Walk now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I just,
Thank you.
Yeah. But I am at City Walk from time to time.
Right.
It's the home of L.A.'s only Margaritaville.
Right. Sure. And where else are you going to get glow-in-the-dark stuff if you're not going to go to the store that only sells glow-in-the-dark stuff?
Yeah. So a lot of times people all get interviewed about this, you know, entertainment journalists, that kind of thing. And they
– Barbara Walters.
Barbara Walters. Yeah. And every time I do this, people ask me, so Jordan, Jesse, Go. How much of it is improv?
Yeah.
How much of it is improv? Because I think that's the important thing to know about a comedy project.
Is it hard to admit how much we stick to the script?
Yeah, I mean it is. I mean, I want to give you credit for your off the cuffery.
Well, I create the illusion
mm-hmm.
of spontaneity. It's something called acting.
Yeah, but you know, we do have a great script, and I just want to give David Mamet credit for the wonderful episodes he writes for us week to week.
Great podcasts come down to great writing, and
mm-hmm.
if we didn't have Mamet, we would have nothing.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who you have directing the podcast. It doesn't matter who's on the board. If we don't have Mamet, we're nothing. We would be worse than, I don't know, just to pick a random example, a recent David Mamet play.
The foundation on which we build.
I like David Mamet.
Same here.
Maybe not personally, not sure.
No, might be bad.
Yeah, hard to tell.
Saw him once in public wearing a beret.
Oh, well, that's
that
pretty good.
Fun.
Best friends with Jonathan Katz, like that.
So that's 2 points.
Yeah.
Let's not think of more.
Okay.
So should we introduce our guest? We have a hot topic loaded up.
I think he's the perfect guest for this week's program
mm-hmm.
because when he is not doing data journalism, he is a comedian. A musician, a best-selling author.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nate Silver.
Greg Behrendt.
Guys, the numbers, you know, they tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They really do tell the story.
Well, if you have a great storyteller to interpret mm-hmm. them.
Yes, and
if you
like stories that are number-based, those are the kind of stories you're going to get.
That's a good
point.
When
you do the numbers and you crunch them. And by the way, I've enjoyed both of you. And I don't know if you guys, I took the online master's David Mamet podcast writing class.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, yeah, and it was really good. It only cost me $170.
Wow.
And I learned, yeah.
That's an incredible value.
It's a pretty good value.
I would pay $270 for that class.
Jordan,
what would you pay for that class?
Well, I mean, I already sunk my money into Steve Martin Teaches Banjo.
Got it.
Yeah, I get you there.
So I don't have a lot of disposable income.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was $14,000.
I spent I mortgaged my house for Dustin Hoffman just shakes his head and goes, "What are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Well, you have to love her."
He's done so much.
Yeah.
And we've done so little.
That is true. He really
has. I've done so little. Jordan's done so little. Yeah. You're a best-selling author, a comedian, a musician, a cancer survivor.
That's right.
You're all of our hero.
I had cancer. I was I think maybe a little late. I was not able to squeeze a one person show out of it.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Or even a revelation. I didn't even squeeze a revelation out of it.
You have no new information.
I was actually just fine before cancer. And I feel like I feel okay afterwards.
For the viewers who maybe or listeners rather who maybe don't follow you on the social media,
Only tweet about my cancer.
Yeah. What sort of cancer?
I had a thing called non-Hodgkin's B cell lymphoma in my intestine, which was very painful, very aggressive, but also mostly treatable. I would say treatable. I don't know why I'm hedging my bets. I had cancer. As my doctor likes to say, I'll tell you when you have cancer again. Mm. You don't have cancer. So it's been about a year and a half.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Now, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
When you got the all clear from your doctor,
yeah,
is that when you treated yourself to a pair of rose-colored pants?
Oh, you know what I said? I said this is going to be a different life after cancer. So I did have a revelation about my pants.
Because you're looking at life through those pants now.
Well,
trying to see the best in everyone's pants.
I feel like they didn't have the desired effect given that the way the world is outside. Mm-hmm. But so I just keep my rose-colored pants on until it changes.
Yeah,
Greg Barron doesn't mess with a bad color combination.
Well, you know what? Mm-hmm. They went Crayola last year. The people that make pants. They went, hey, if you don't love khaki or sand, how about red, blue, orange, lavender, olive, taupe? Like, they just went kind of crazy with it. They also make for an older guy, they make a nice stretch twill.
That could be.
Yeah.
Who's they?
These are Urban Outfitter, but everybody who makes a khaki does it. J. Crew does it.
Might be millennial pink.
I think they are in that millennial blush rose. Yeah. Or
I mean, I would call those festival wear.
They are. These are
Greg,
kind of festival
can
wear.
You take off
I actually just
it's not appropriate.
it's cultural appropriation.
We're uncomfortable.
You look very
that.
Cute in it.
Yeah,
thanks,
I'm
going to
just swap it out for this flower crown.
Yeah.
Oh,
I will say about once a month, for about 4.5 minutes, I will consider a loud pair of pants. It goes away, but I'll consider it.
I'll
see a man in a nice loud pant, and I'm like, maybe I could be a loud pants man.
They used to call them jackass pants. They were actually like they were kind of old white guys, old wealthy white guys would wear what they called jackass pants, and that could be anything from a pair of pink khakis. I mean, pink twill pants to like a Madras check. Those were kind of like 6 p.m. early cocktail
in the Chevy Chase community.
Yeah, that's 100%.
Not in the community of Chevy Chase, Maryland.
Right.
These are
community
people, of people,
someone who
people
Chevy
that live
Chase
around
would
Chevy
play
Chase.
In a movie.
Yes.
A villainous frat guy who wants to shut down the fun frat.
Yeah. It was a very preppy look.
Yeah.
This morning I saw, as I was leaving my daughter's elementary school, I saw an old man on his porch. And in one hand he had a watering can, a small watering can. In the other hand he had a cane. And he was wearing outrageous plaid pants, white sneakers, and a cardigan. And for a second, I thought I was looking at a cartoon from the 70s. But actually, it was a real old man dressed as a parody of an old man.
I mean, first off, that's how I'm going out. What you just described, like that to me, that's a lifestyle. Like that's a choice that you make because at that point, it's like, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? Put it on. Get a cane. Water your cane.
To be fair.
Water your cane.
To be fair on him, no yeah. chain wallet. That would be the one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah
I would
yeah,
switch
yeah.
the white sneakers for a van, maybe.
Yeah, yeah sure, sure,
and then
sure.
I would add a chain wallet, and we could get to a Gregory Barrett signature look.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, money's going to be so important to hang on to back,
right.
you know, later on.
Absolutely. We're on a fixed income.
That's
Greg,
right.
did I notice on your chain wallet you have a – you is there a letter or an – do you have a
– I forgot about that. It's off my sister's keychain, who my sister passed away last year.
Okay, well, and that's wearing a nice tribute.
It's a K and it has diamonds on it, and I wore it for a necklace for a while. It just didn't really work.
Yeah.
A big sparkly K on my chest. There were just too many. Like, what is that, dude? And then sure. I'm like, oh, my dead sister. And then everything goes sideways. Then.
And now you only have to explain it to guys who maybe looked at your behind about 5 minutes ago.
You know what? It begs the question.
Sure.
There's a K hanging out of my back pocket on my wallet. It begs the question. And I wanted to hang on to it. I didn't know where to put it. One day I just slapped it on there and left it on.
That's great. That's a great tribute.
She'd like it.
Yeah.
She would like it. She wouldn't like it that I put it on my chest. She'd be like.
Was your sister anti-chain wallet?
No. My sister only dated guys if they had a chain wallet and a little bit of a record.
Okay.
I used to go, do you just wait outside of San Quentin for them? Like, how did they get them this bad? But she would appreciate that.
My mom my mom is currently looking for a roommate.
Mm-hmm.
My mom has a rent control.
I wish my sister was still alive.
My mom has a rent controlled apartment in San Francisco's Mission District, which is a golden treasure that she intends to will to myself and my wife. My name is on the lease.
That's a great.
My mom's been there for 30 years. Mm-hmm. And that is, as far as she's concerned, our inheritance. It certainly isn't money.
Mm-hmm.
She does not have that, which is why she's looking for a roommate. And the thing is like the neighborhood consumed by very rich 26-year-old dudes because they all work at Twitter or whatever. Mm-hmm. God bless them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Don't God bless them.
You know that the entire city is just a campus now.
It's very,
right? It's just
very,
an internet campus.
Very,
yeah.
very weird.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And so what she does not want, a 26-year-old dude living in her house, my mom is a 71-year-old woman.
Right.
She's a retired college professor and current antique stealer.
She can't stay up late at night playing Nintendo Switch with these guys.
Exactly. Uh-huh. She just wants first.
Or sit down to a mid-afternoon voodoo donut.
She had.
Round three, I like to have a nice donut covered in Fruit Loops.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's my me time. I have my nice donut covered in Fruit Loops.
Some bulletproof coffee and she really gets it going.
Right. Then I have my 3:30 ultra shit. Back to work.
Oh, I wish I had a 3:30 ultra shit. Anyway, that might be something we all invest in later, guys. Let's talk about this.
So that's
where we're going to make our nut.
For about a year and a half, 2 years, my mom has had this woman living in her house named Yuki, who is a middle-aged Japanese woman who's very smart and very considerate. This is my mom's dream. All my mom wants is to have someone in her house that when she cooks, they appreciate it.
Okay.
And they're polite.
Uh-huh. Is it cooking worth appreciating?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, there you go.
I mean,
okay.
she's not a professional chef, but she's a good cook.
Yeah.
And so she is just looking for a person. But you keep moving back to Japan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
She was in the United States learning English. She works at a bank or something.
Right.
She's moving back to Japan. My mom needs to replace her. And there's like all these laws about how you can and can't evict a roommate because they're considered a tenant. A subletter is a tenant. There are very tight tenant protections in San Francisco. So you cannot fuck it up on the front end. Basically, anyone that comes into your house, you have to be comfortable with having them in your house indefinitely.
For a lifetime.
Because you can't just give them the boot because they broke something.
Now, do you think most people renting know that? Probably in San Francisco they do.
Yeah, in San Francisco,
they're always talking about the rules in San Francisco.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think in San Francisco they just figure that if something goes wrong, they will be caught by the safety net in some way.
Right.
That, you know, that socialism will protect them.
Right.
As it should.
Yes.
And so my mom emailed me the other day with, I guess, like an application from a 44-year-old bouncer / EMT who has three kids, but he doesn't live with them. And he's looking for a place to stay, and he just needs to get back on his feet. He makes $800 a night bouncing. I can't remember what it is. It's some extraordinary amount of money bouncing. $400 a night bouncing. Hundreds of dollars each night that he bounces. But recently—
You think you're bouncing five nights a week?
I think he's bouncing two nights a week,
maybe. Still pretty good.
Three nights a week, and then EMTing at other times. And
that guy likes to get in the action, man.
Yeah.
He really likes
to get his hands dirty.
He likes it when stuff goes down. Like, he likes when there's a, you know what I mean? He likes to say this, everybody step back. And that really works at both jobs. You need to step away, sir. Back it up, please.
And he recently, there was an accident on his, in his ambulance. And
in his ambulance?
In his, on his, the accident occurred to his ambulance.
Okay, gotcha.
It affected his ambulance. Mm-hmm. And the other, the patient and driver died. He survived.
Oh, my God.
His shoulder got messed up, but they put it back together, and he's doing pretty good now.
Yeah.
And my mom said, does this guy seem weird?
Are any bells being rung?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, Mom, I'm not saying you shouldn't have lunch with this guy in a public place. And... And have a chat. Maybe he's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yes. Well, abso-fucking-lutely. He sounds terrifying.
Oh my God. He's got dependents and he has something that can make it go, I can't, my shoulder, I'm just gonna be around really. I'm gonna be around a lot. I can't, that accident.
And he's just looking for a room to rent.
Do you think he has his own Nintendo Switch or will your mom need to provide that?
That's the other thing. He says, not only does he not have a Nintendo Switch.
What?
He wants my mom to get one of those miniature NES systems, which are very difficult to get.
Yeah, well, they stopped making those.
They're dramatically oversold.
Yeah.
You have to go get Craigslist or eBay.
Mark
the only
up
way
them.
To
That's
get one of those
huge.
Miniature NES systems. How's this guy, how's my mom even supposed to do that? She's already cooking for him.
Yeah.
So, tough situation for my mom.
Very tough.
Thankfully, she had lunch with him.
Mm-hmm.
She said he was a very nice man,
oh, I wish
but maybe not a good fit.
Now, let me ask you this. Look, you have a burgeoning media empire here. And I could just tell when we were talking, I guarantee you there were just many people in the—
It's actually a crumbling media empire.
Oh, is that a crumbling media empire?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to hear me?
I think you got to change the font. It reads differently outside. It's under the rocket. But
Greg, would you like to hear me play fiddle?
Yeah, I would. I would love to. I think you're
just spending too much on Unix.
That's fair.
Sorry, I don't want to. Listen,
fair, but,
I don't want to.
Do you don't want to. Here's
quarterback.
The thing.
Can I ask
you don't want to get to the vomitorium and it's empty. You have to have action there already or else people won't feel comfortable having a good time.
Here's an embarrassing question. What is too much?
No, you're right.
Yeah, what is too much to spend? I don't know. I might be where you're at.
I mean, listen, they say put one of your paychecks a month toward rent.
Right.
Right.
Put one paycheck into savings.
Right.
Sure.
And then the other two paychecks right to Unix.
So that's
and they'll find food for you. Yeah. They'll find food.
Now,
will you get a letter from a Unix? Will this be like a couple weeks from now? You go, look, we didn't mean what we were saying. We were kidding around. Mm-hmm. And I just, if you're a Unix and you like the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not having sport.
Whatever kind of ceremonial genital mutilation you have found yourself in.
Yeah.
Right.
We appreciate your patronage.
We
support you.
Absolutely do.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. No matter what ancient culture you belong to, whether it's Romans, whether it's the Visigoths, whether it's the Mongol horde.
Yeah.
We appreciate all hordes.
What was Hannibal?
Or the Bohemian Club. It doesn't matter.
Hannibal was a
across the Alps, elephants.
He had to cross the Alps.
Yeah.
He was a, you know what? I would ask our colleague Daniel to verify this, but last week we had him look into whether the tiny octopuses that come with fried calamari are actually tiny octopuses, and he said they were. He looked it up, said they were. Turns out, no, they are not. They are part of a squid. They're the squiddy part of a small squid.
And they just round off the heads so it looks like an octopus.
Yeah, they chop the eyeball part out. The pointy part becomes rings, and the squibbly bit becomes a tiny octopus. But it's not literally a tiny octopus. So we cannot trust Daniel with regard to the question of who Hannibal is. Hannibal, by the way, the answer, very funny stand-up comic.
Right, yeah.
Very funny stand-up comic.
Oh, yeah. Very funny.
Very talented.
So is your, so will your mom, I just feel like there may be a way that either audience members or maybe we just bring you know, potential roommates on.
Yeah.
Have a show and vet your mom out of this, a small batch. Yeah, a small batch of vetting this person as a community. Yeah.
You know that our entire audience is composed of 26-year-old guys that work at Twitter and live in San Francisco's Mission District, right?
Right. So, that's true.
You now, just a thought.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, obviously she loves this apartment. It's in a great situation because, you
know. Have I thought about moving in with her?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, got to get away from the old ball and chain.
Yeah.
Finally, somebody
get in there
who
with
can
the old
cook.
Mom and chain.
Yeah.
Your mom owns a chain.
Oh, my God.
Of frozen yogurt places.
Mm-hmm.
Have you thought about, you know, maybe, you know, mom moves out, you know, maybe somewhere a little more affordable, sells the place, and then you turn it, sells the place she rents.
Yeah.
This doesn't hold up. It's leading to just a dumb joke.
Sells her lease, yeah.
Sells her lease. You turn the thing, bar/ball pit.
Oh, yeah. Ball pit bar.
And hey, it's going
to
be.
Are you trying to make a, what's a ball pit bar? You mean like a ball pit, like with the kids?
It's going
to
be.
Yeah.
Like a ball pit
but
for
this
adults?
Is for grown
well,
ups
but it has,
who are kids
so
at
it's
heart.
A, so it's deeper.
It's
yeah,
for like
yeah.
Way cool. Deeper. Like, imagine, like, trying to think of who would enjoy this. Maybe like a 26-year-old. Like a software guy.
Oh, yeah,
Nintendo
yeah, yeah.
High
Switch.
High tech marketing
sure,
guy.
Sure.
He's got a Nintendo Switch.
Switch.
Yeah. He's got one of those little Nintendo Entertainment systems. He got that on eBay.
Hey, this place is going to be crowded. You know what it's going to need? It's going to need a bouncer.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's going to need eunuchs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's probably going to need
that's
both.
That's why it needs a bouncer.
These guys have a couple too many Moscow mules. They're going to get rowdy.
Yeah, absolutely.
That those is something.
Copper cups.
That is something that exists is the ball pit bar. I think it is a pop-up thing, so it might not exist all the time.
Right.
But I was watching videos of people at the ball pit bar.
It feels like millennials just can't stop doing things publicly that people go, what? You got to stop.
Yeah.
You got to make people think that you can do more than this when the grid goes down. Just give old people something to feel okay about. Look, most of them don't want to yell at you about avocados, but you're doing it to yourself now. And look, it's not your fault. You know, when the Wild Things movie came out, we all got confused and wondered who wanted that. And then we figured it out very quickly, and we were furious. And now we knew who you were. You had flown your flag, millennials. But you got to stop with the ball.
Well,
ball pit.
Greg, I've got a little piece of advice for you, Mr. Generation X.
Yeah.
How about this? Get a job.
Whoa.
Okay. How about this? How about this, Mr. Slacker? How about you get a job?
Quit slacking and watching reruns of Gilligan's Island. I'm talking about
wearing your grandpa's cardigan, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I so wish that wasn't accurate. I cannot tell you how many guys we were talking about this a little bit before. I can't tell you how many guys are my age. Are like, so what do we – now what happens? You put away enough. Well, enough for a future that was different, not this future. Well, what are you doing now? I don't know. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. Are we starting an open mic? Really? Yeah. Just a bunch of old – yeah.
Sure. 50 and up open mic.
Man,
yeah,
can it be at
the Sizzler. Starts around 5 or 6.
Yeah,
everybody's in bed by 8.
That means we'd have to get we have to find some old TV executives who are in their 70s to come out and offer us a TV deal.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I like that. Yeah. Keep everybody employed.
Can I tell you guys a quick open mic anecdote?
Yes.
Please.
This past weekend, I attended a stand-up comedy show.
Mm-hmm.
organized by our friend Riley Silverman, headlined by our friend Guy Branum, two great friends of Jordan Jesse Go. Benefit for a great organization here in Los Angeles called Trans Lifeline. It's a helpline for transgender teens and adults. And it was an amazing, fantastic show, but it was at the Improv, which I realized when I bought the tickets to the show, I've lived in Los Angeles for 10 years, have not been to a comedy club in 10 years. I went to many comedy club shows when I lived in San Francisco, but I have never been to the Joke Factory.
Sure, yeah. Let's say. So what do you got? I guess you got three. I guess you got the Laugh Factory. Oh, you got the Comedy Store.
The Laugh Factory, Comedy Store, the Improv. There's the what's the what thing out in Pasadena?
The Ice House.
Ice House.
I guess we did that show. Al Madrigal
Flappers
loaned us Flappers. A show that he did at the Ice House for a little while. That we did a few shows there.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I had never attended as an attendee a Los Angeles show. And my wife and I, the show was announced as starting at 9:30. Turns out it started at 10, just a trick to sell you drinks. Mm-hmm. And we got to they had us mill around outside.
Was this in the main stage or in the lab?
So it was originally in the main stage, moved to the lab.
Sure.
Nice space.
Good room.
Great room.
I've seen a couple shows there too. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
It's usually, I feel like if you're going into somewhere secondary space, you're getting fucked somehow.
Right.
But this is, I think, more fun.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Everybody.
Yeah, it's a great, it is. It's a good room. And I have been able to sell that thing to half. So that feels very good.
Everybody that worked for the club, just super nice to us, like super pleasant and nice, nice bartender, all that stuff. But while we're standing outside, I'm trying to figure out, I'm like, there are like eight dudes here who are definitely stand-up comics. Like, none of them do I recognize, but I recognize their weird way of talking to each other, smoking cigarettes and holding notepads.
Yeah.
And they're all kind of in a, they're all in a weird fight. Mm-hmm. That is also a sort of friendship. And then that 8 becomes 12, then 16, then 20. And suddenly I'm just in a courtyard of these people, just a fenced-in area at 10 o'clock on a Sunday night, completely surrounded by 28-year-olds smoking cigarettes enthusiastically and holding notepads while yelling stuff at each other. It was the most, and it turned out it's open mic night.
That's my what is your worst way to die?
So right? how are you dying in this situation?
I guess being on fire or sharks or just in a courtyard with comics pre-show. And they just keep showing up.
Right.
Comics who are not quite comics. These are semi-professional, generous
just any kind
comics.
Just comics that have that time free.
So, Greg, how are you dying in this situation? Are you taking your own life?
I just die of smoke. I die of hubris and smoke inhalation.
Sure.
Yeah.
So. I was looking for exit plans. I mean, I'm not going to pretend like I didn't consider the sweet release of death.
Can I impale myself somewhere? Yeah. Is there
comedy clubs and comedians come with the stench of comedy?
Sure,
it's a very strange thing with the desire for there to be great with hope from the comics and sort of hope from the club, and that's a lot of pressure to put on comedy. That's why I think in the recent years people have enjoyed it when it hasn't been at comedy clubs, because upon entering them you're like, I'm already let down from a thing I've been expecting, and I didn't even and for many people, especially guys of your generation, that's not the way you've come to expect comedy. So, but I think, you know, the comedy club era and that whole thing is so bizarre that when you go into it you're like, this feels like part of a Universal City Walk.
Yeah. Sure.
Where this is a thing from like real world, but it's not the real world version of it anymore.
Yeah. This is like, it is just a little step away from a TGI Fridays.
It's right. Because it's a business that actually allows you to do comedy while they sell food. You don't have to rent the room.
Sure.
Yeah. But I mean, I feel like I have been maybe in similar situations at you know, the Punchline in San mm-hmm. Francisco or something. I feel like in a place that's not Los Angeles, it is just that group, that same group of people is 12 people, and they're more likely to be nice people, even if they're not great at comedy. Some of them may be great at comedy, but like, it was so. I have never been in a thirstier, and usually I'm pro thirstiness. Yes. I want to be clear that I am not someone to insult people for their. I get it. I come on strong.
Sure.
I come in there hot.
Sure, and when you'll fall into the occasional thirst trap, right?
Yeah, I'll take a big swing from time to mm-hmm. time. I'm not anti-thirst.
No, right.
But the level of thirstiness was so profound and overwhelming. It was so terrifying and uncomfortable to be there.
And different than the Punchline in San Francisco, you know, this is Los Angeles. So you're not only standing underneath a very, very bad mural – that includes Jay Leno.
And oh, yeah, sure.
It's a way terrible mural.
Jay Leno and Jay Moore.
And David Spade never looking more like Vince Neil.
Yeah.
But then also the club is under the expectation that at any moment, any one of these massive stars from TV could come in and make you disappointed for all the things to follow.
Yeah.
And so it really is like a weird, you know, and all of the comedy clubs in LA sort of have that, you know.
Because part of how those businesses sell their tickets is this kind of expectation that at any moment they'll have a 12 comedian lineup. Everybody's doing their 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And at any moment, any one of those people might get bumped by Dave Chappelle or whatever.
Right. And in the early days, it was filled with guys that became stars, and it was a new idea that, you know, in Bud's Improv and that, like, you know, and so Shandling and Robin and David Letterman, all those people were at those clubs. So it was, and it was a small, comedy was a very small, such a small niche thing, you know, whereas now it's like there's 10 stars on their Netflix queue. So people are much savvier about it.
I didn't even know that people still smoke.
Yeah.
That's what I know. That seems to be coming back. I'm not blaming the current administration. I am.
Can we just blame vaping? I mean, relative to vaping
is a gateway. People start by vaping and they're like, might as well.
I think they catch a reflection of themselves vaping and go, I should just smoke.
Yeah. That's what I think. Sure. I think from my perspective, what it is that for a
palming
long time.
Palming it and sucking it in. Oh, drives me crazy.
Pre-vaping, there was a long decline in smoking as people looked at smoking and thought, oh, you know, that's going to make me smelly. That's going to give me cancer. That's going to give me emphysema.
These are
going to yellow my teeth. Whatever. All the different reasons why it's bad to smoke. And a long decline after that. And at a certain point, vaping came along. And maybe some people said, maybe this will help me quit smoking. Some people said, I enjoy these fun flavored vape juices. Some people love to blow fatty clouds.
Sure.
People
like to have rigs.
Well, people love stuff.
People like to be more like R2-D2.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's all these reasons people started vaping. But then other people who weren't smokers or vapers were just walking down the street. They saw someone vaping and thought, fuck that, I'm going to smoke.
Yeah, you mean so they are actually smoking at the vapors.
Exactly.
How about this? How about real cancer?
Right. So people are going to, it's going to start with cigarettes, and then people are going to just start combating vapors with Sherlock Holmes pipes. It's going to turn into, oh, you're going to vape? Okay, I'm going to smoke this Sherlock Holmes pipe.
The pipe never, like, when I was really little, because I'm 54 years old, so when I was really a little kid, guys had pipes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my uncle smoked a pipe. And I got to tell you something. Guy hitting a pipe later on at night, that smells all right.
It smells okay, man.
That's got a boardroom smell to it. My uncle feels like success right now, right?
Yeah.
He slapped a little Aqua V on earlier in the morning, right? He was living in his moment.
Little
he was having
pipe
a pipe.
Smoke, a little bourbon, a little,
karate. The least gross of the tobaccos.
Yeah. But then the cigars come out, and you're like, now a sex crime's going to happen.
Yeah.
I was pipe guy for a while, Greg.
Did you do a pipe?
In maybe like 25, 26, I was guy who went outside and smoked a pipe at a bar.
Oh, my God. A little Borkum riff? How'd you get that going? What'd you smoke?
Boy. So I would sometimes go to like
Corn cob.
A tobacconist.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And it started out, I think, think I had to buy one for like a sketch. Mm-hmm. I had to be.
I was going to say, you started in a Monty Python sketch at the tobacconist. Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yes. The naughty tobacconist.
That's right.
And I got one. I just bought one. You can just buy them at 7-Elevens. I don't know if they still sell them. I don't know if the pipes have been replaced by e-cigarettes or whatever. But I think, you know, at the time you could just go to a 7-Eleven and buy like a $5 pipe and then like loose tobacco. But sometimes I would go to like a smoke shop and like, you know, buy nice loose tobacco and stuff like that. But boy, yeah, and it was fun to do. And it was definitely like a great conversation starter. Everybody like wants to know like, what's the deal with pipe guy, huh?
Yeah.
But then I'm like, nah, fuck me. You know, fuck me. If I saw me, I'd be like, fuck me. Fuck that guy.
You also
really?
Learned that tobacco is not the only thing that can be lit on fire in a pipe.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. It'll do. Yes, I can smoke something that will do something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it felt just so, like, cosmetic, you know? It felt just like, you're just – this is your thing to be interesting.
And I don't meet that many guys where I go, that guy should have a pipe. Like,
yeah.
I really
–
but I do thought – I did like them, but almost just, like, more than cigars, which seemed to – when cigars
–
cigars always flare up like a boil. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, I hate this period of life right now. If I see another the cigar, you know, the thing, and a guy standing outside.
It feels like we're headed toward that again. I can see the cigar rebirth on the horizon.
When I was deep in – when I was at my deepest in menswear world, obviously still a participant, that was the thing – that was the one thing that I least wanted to deal with. Like there's all these – there's all these asshole accoutrements that go along with dressing fancy that, like, guys who like to dress fancy get into.
Yep.
And even as a non-drinker, I'm totally not bothered by people who are into, single-sourced liquors or, fancy mixed drinks. I'm not bothered by people who want to, like, talk about BMWs. That's, like, less appealing. Or like James Bond movies. It's fine. I like James Bond movies as much as the next guy. But fuck, these people want to talk about cigars.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. And then they want to smoke a cigar. Oh, no, no, no.
I was at a – I will say that I still – when I will do those things – I was at a wedding recently that had a cigar bar and started out with the, fuck this attitude. But then I like had one and liked it. And I like have a – I have a buddy who still smokes a pipe and we'll sit outside and smoke a pipe every now and then. And it's fun. Like I like – the things themselves are fun, and
Jordan,
doing them with a group of friends I think is neat. But when you
I know
when
that you don't
blast
like,
it out in public.
I know that you don't like to drop names, Jordan.
Sure.
But you can say the friend's name. You can
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh,
it's Arnold,
right?
It's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah,
on the cover of Cigar Aficionado.
I could see him making a cigar interesting. Yeah, if he was that guitar, the cigar and guitar aficionado have the same people on.
Yeah.
And that makes me hate all of it.
And also sometimes we invite our buddy Bill Clinton.
Just Arnold ripping out a sweet guitar solo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
Hi, this is Griffin McElroy.
Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
And we're the hosts of Rose Buddies. It's a podcast about the Bachelor family of products.
We watch The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, and Bachelor in Paradise.
Yes, it is garbage television, but we're the king and queen of this garbage pile. We're the raccoons in charge around here.
So join us on Tuesdays.
Because the TV show's on Mondays. And basically we'll recap what we saw, and we'll just sort of scoop the garbage around us and make a little fort out of it.
No viewing required.
But it's a good TV show. What are you doing?
I mean, it looks lovely with the rose pants as well, but I like the color on its own.
It's a good one, right? It's a classic. It's like a classic.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, man. Oh, go ahead. You do your copy. Yeah.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Greg Barron,
You can have a nickname. You've been on the show before, Greg.
You've been on the show for 10 years.
I know, but I don't know if you guys know this, but Greg Barron is my nickname.
Oh, fair point.
Yes, that is actually my nickname.
Are you permitted to say your real name, or is that a secret?
I am able to say it's Winter Davis. Yeah.
Let the record show that joke is even more timely now than it will be when it hits your ears. Mm-hmm. It will still be pretty timely when it hits your ears. But it is just a fresh bite of the apple right
tip.
Now.
Yeah. A little bit on the note. Yeah.
It is just a fresh, just a nice, ripe fucking pear right now. Great consistency. Maybe an Asian pear.
Speaking of foods.
Oh, I love an Asian pear.
Speaking of foods, we got some great sponsors this week on Jordan Jesse Go. One of them is food related, and that's Blue Apron.
Whoa, let me at them cakes.
Let me at them cakes. Blue Apron.
Let me at them cakes.
Is a meal by mail delivery kit, and they send you some great stuff every week for less than $10 per person per meal. Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals.
Can I clarify something here, Jordan?
Please.
Blue Apron will help you make elote-style vegetable tostadas with summer squash, poblano peppers, and cilantro rice. But they will not be elote vegetable tostadas. They are in the style of elote. It's like when Weird Al.
Right. It does like a song, and it's not a Devo song, but it sounds like a Devo.
It incorporates a lot of the cues of Devo, and it's his own fun twist on the Devo oeuvre. So is this recipe with elote.
And you can also get a peach honey glazed chicken with mashed sweet potatoes, collard greens, and Thai basil.
Check out this week's menu. Get your first three meals free. Yes, that's right. F-R-E-E. Just like World B. They're free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/JJGO. That's blueapron.com/JJGO. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Let me have them cakes.
Hey.
Did I go too far?
No, riffs. No, if any, you want to make up any riffs for our sponsors, Greg, I'm sure they would appreciate it.
Should we just give it a quick, let me at them cakes?
Hey, if you got a job that you need a person for, why not go?
Let's say you got a big fat job burning a hole in your pocket.
You're like, I got a job. It don't got a person.
Yeah.
You go to ZipRecruiter.
Somebody's got to work those pulleys and levers.
With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click.
Click!
Find out today why ZipRecruiter
Do you know what I just did?
You posted your job to 100 job sites?
Yeah, just like that. Click!
Yeah, with ZipRecruiter. They've been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results.
It's called click training. It's very popular now.
Hey, right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free.
Whoa, wait.
So just do it. If you got the,
just like World B?
Yes, it's free. You go to ZipRecruiter.com/JJGO, and you get to try it for free.
ZipRecruiter.com/JJGO?
Yeah, that's how you try it for free.
One more time.
ZipRecruiter.com/JJGO.
There you go.
Greg, you got a riff?
Bow!
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
We also have something this week. Greg Behrendt, musician from the Reigning Monarchs.
That
was kind of
starring
funky.
In
that was
Hello
kind of funky.
Dolly.
Yeah, it's kind of funky.
Hello Dolly. In Louis C.K.'s Hello Dolly.
We also have something up on the Jumbotron. Our thanks this week to our friends at VG Kids. VG Kids, they make our T-shirts here at Maximum Fun HQ.
It's a full-service screen printing company. If you need T-shirts, if you need posters,
stickers,
they have specialty inks, black light reactive,
glow in the dark.
And hey, they have a wide range of papers, including recycled stock, holographic foil, wood veneer, and everything in between. And you can get 10% off if you go over to them and mention Jordan Jesse Go.
VGKids.com. Ink it up!
Oh, that's good.
Thank you.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba-ba. Mine was kind of more of a,
muted, jazzy,
easy listening kind of
as
riff.
Opposed to Gregory's antic rock stylings.
Yeah.
Pow! I got the best whammy bar.
VG Kids, and get up!
Meow.
Meow.
Oh, I gotta save that kitty. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
Do you love books?
Want to get more out of all that reading you do?
I'm Bria Grant.
And I'm Mallory O'Mara.
Join us every Thursday on Reading Glasses, where we help you read better.
Reading Glasses is a show about book culture, teaching you how to enhance your literary life and solve your bookish problems, like
how do you get out of a reading slump?
What's the best book light to use in bed while your partner's trying to sleep?
Where do you hide the bodies of the people who talk while you're trying to read?
In the basement of my apartment building.
Ooh, that's a good place.
Let Bria and I improve your reading life every Thursday on Reading Glasses, Maximum Fun's new culture podcast.
Learn how to read better.
Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And Winter, Greg Barrett. It's my nickname. Greg Barrett, Winter Davis. Winter Respect is my first name.
Yeah.
Greg Barrett celebrating over 10 years of appearing on Jordan Jesse Go, probably. Yep. Haven't looked it up.
And forgetting it every time. Every time it's new.
I have
with you guys, I have like one of those movie premises where I can't remember what happened yesterday.
Sure.
We're on our 50, we're probably on our, what are we, on our 7th or 8th of our 51 dates.
Yeah.
51 first dates.
So we're going to take you to Feed a Seal next.
Yeah. Is Rob Schneider here? Because I can't wait to see what character he is.
Yeah, it's offensive.
I hope so.
It's offensive, Greg.
He's pansexual and pan-Asian.
Yeah, right. Yes, it could be.
Pan-pan.
Yeah, so he's branching out. Not only is he doing offensive ethnic characters, but
right.
he's also going to be doing kind of offensive characters of different sexualities.
Fantastic.
So he's really branching out.
And he's backing that all up with his Trump support.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Keeps getting better and better.
Oh, it really does.
Rob Schneider, streaming on Netflix. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Doesn't he have a Netflix show? Doesn't he have a Louis where he wanders around?
Yes. First off, it would be nice to see a comedian get a show where he can just be a comedian.
Yeah.
Or have we
Well,
seen
no, you
that
also
now?
Have to wander around either L.A. or New York.
How's your life going?
Yeah. Oh, are you?
I'm asking you, how is it going?
Oh, are you saying that I could wander around?
I'm just saying,
LA
how,
or New
but
York.
How is your life going in
George,
that scenario?
Would you characterize
it's not going well.
It's not going well.
No.
I'm just going to give you guys a quick pitch for a show.
Okay.
I love it.
It's based on my life.
Okay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm a podcaster.
Mm hmm.
Starting a podcast business.
I love it.
My family isn't buying it. Okay. Mm-hmm. They don't think this is gonna happen.
Get a real job, they say.
I work in a crazy office.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I'm Zach Braff from Scrubs.
Whoa, cool.
Oh my God. That's incredible.
I think this thing is gonna be a smash hit.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Is he a fish out of water in the business world, and are there doubting Thomases all around?
Oh boy.
Oh, you got it, baby. Especially that harpy wife.
Oh my God. Finn, I'm so glad to see her. Yeah. And I hope he has to explain podcasting 5 or 6 times to old people who don't get it.
Yeah. They just don't get it.
Miss Leah Remini's great in everything.
He's
too.
A visionary.
He is a visionary.
So excited about that.
Jordan, I'm
so excited about your show.
Mm-hmm.
I am so tired of, if I could encapsulate what I'm tired of, mm-hmm. it's comedians being funny and doing funny things.
Oh,
I
always
focus
with the jokes.
You're going to love my new hour then.
Get real. Raw.
Yeah. Raw.
Greg Barrett.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the best.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice to have our friend
better.
Greg Barrett here representing Marin County, California.
Sweater up. My dad we don't have any family there anymore. My
really?
Dad moved back to the city. He lives
he
lives on Toppenham Hill.
Wow.
He sold his, we bought a, he remarried. He moved to San Francisco, but we moved there in 1973 and we bought a home there for
in cocaine country.
In $150,000 for a home.
Yeah.
And he sold it for a lot.
You sold it for a lot.
He sold a lot.
My in-laws just sold their house for a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It just is. So he lives in, because he was born, he's a San Francisco guy. So he moved back.
Yeah.
He moved back. So I go to Marin every once in a while. Well, they let you in and it's nice.
I was just.
Lawns made out of cashmere. They're literally cashmere lawns.
They have a few days a year they let in visitors and riffraff.
Do you remember the Robin Wright Penns live there?
Really?
They live right down the street from my parents, the Robin Wright Pens.
Really? The Wright Pens.
He wanted to get his kids. This is a beautiful story.
Yeah.
And he wanted to get his kids out of L.A. So he bought a large property down off of Sir Francis Drake, which is kind of a main vein that cuts its way off of the 101 and all the way out to Fairfax, right? And he was afraid that his kids were going to wander into traffic. So he wanted to build a bridge from his home over the freeway and onto the other side of the road. It's not a highway. It's a street. It's actually just a street. And people said no. And I think it went downhill for them there.
Yeah.
After a while, then he would. And then
that's going to be tough
when the rich
when
start
you put
erecting
that on the ballot.
When they start erecting random bridges.
We'll be
building our own bridges.
And, just neighborhood.
Well, also
bypasses.
They shot Nash bridges up there too.
Oh, they did.
Nash bridges. When I was in high school, Nash Bridges was on television. I attended an arts high school in the theater department. Not one of my teachers had not played three different characters on Nash Bridges.
Oh, my God. That's so great.
Local casting on Nash Bridges just had a pool of 50 people, 10 of whom taught at my high school. They're just – anytime there was three lines on Nash Bridges, the odds were 15%. And then Nash Bridges shut down. No one ever shot there again, and that was the end of that.
Oh, my God. Why don't you go up there to raise money for the school and put on a dramatic – do a play.
I mean, like of a Nash Bridges. Yeah.
Do a Nash Bridges, but do it real. Do it in kind of a Tennessee Williams way.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know,
sure. Just get... Nash strolls in. He's got a cocktail.
Yeah.
His wife's drunk again.
It's so hot there. It's so hot, even though it's really.
Sure.
Yeah. Aisha Tyler would make a good Nash Bridges. This is not a bad idea.
Should be a good Bridges.
Oh, gosh,
with Margaret Cho as Cheech.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we can make this happen with alumni. Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything's coming back these days.
Yeah.
You know, Arrested Development's coming back. Others.
Yeah.
Get them back.
Arrested Development's coming back again.
Sure.
It's back again.
And I think,
time.
And
that's isn't that weird when you're just like, we're just going to put it back on. What is it? We're just putting that show back on.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, you know, obviously there's a lot of places to bring something back. I mean, you got your streaming services. You know, I think Will and Grace is coming back to TV proper.
Yeah.
But I think more shows need to come back as regional plays.
Yeah. Yep, I do.
So if Nash Bridges goes well,
oh my God.
Carolyn in the City.
The best idea. Oh, my God. Right. What was it? Was it Caroline? Caroline in the City, right?
Yeah. I say Caroline in the City. But
oh, you
sure.
do? Change
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Can I say one thing about Will and Grace? The only weird thing to me about this reboot of Will and Grace, it's 2017. You don't need Will and Grace anymore. Just have the two funny ones.
That's what, right? Right.
Sure. Yeah. They can look at a picture of Will and Grace and then you remember something.
Yeah, like in the intro, there's a picture.
Sure.
You just do a kind of Ken Burns style pan across a newspaper headline. Will and Grace died in a tragic fire. Here's the two funny ones from that show.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, that's what that show was they had a great script about two gay people, and they went, well, we can't make that. We got to.
Yeah, here's two funny people. We better put in two fine people.
Mm-hmm. Just
two
fine.
People who are fine.
Will and Grace.
Fine. Good looking. Fine. They seem nice.
Will and Grace killed in fire, and then below it, charmed to spare. Very charming.
You're charming, sure. Yeah, but, you know, let's be honest who you're watching that for.
Sure.
Okay, that's the Megan Mullally program. If something momentous happens to you, like Will and Grace die in an airplane crash.
Yeah.
To be clear, only the fictional characters would die.
No, I don't. We don't wish death on the actors.
No, I bet they're wonderful.
Who I think we've said had charm to spare.
Yeah, charm to spare.
These are two fine actors.
They were lovely.
Yeah. It's not like it's Greg and Dharma.
Yeah, no.
Well, just they would come back.
Them. That's
fuck them. And
I was
going to
say, there's our regional revival, by the way.
That would be great to bring that back and kill Greg and Dharma off.
Yeah.
Because you're like, well, what?
Were there
happened?
Other people on that show?
Anything can happen.
Didn't Dharma have a mean mom?
At some point, John Larroquette probably played one of their dads.
Yeah.
Sure.
What are we doing with this big empty sitcom?
Yeah.
There's all this furniture and there's all these other friends?
Sure.
Oh, boy. Okay, when something momentous happens to you, 206-9844-FUN is the telephone number to call. That's 206-9844-FUN. Here's a hot tip. Put it in your telephone, 206-9844-FUN. Just do it right now. You're probably listening to this on your telephone. Then it's ready for you. It's our segment, Momentous Occasions. Here's our first telephone call.
Yeah, this is Fish in Seattle, and I just biked between two cities on my rail bike that I designed and built myself. That is a bike that can ride on railroad tracks. And I did it, and I didn't die, and it only took me 20 years of thinking about it to finally do it. So, yay.
Holy shit.
I zoned out. What did that guy talk about?
He
was talking fast.
He said he just
Didn't retain any of it.
Well, initially I thought he said a jail bike, which I thought was like prison wine.
Okay.
It's like something you make out by fermenting cherry juice.
Sure. You sharpen enough toothbrushes, you put them together, you make a little bike.
A little jail bike. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is
it turned
jail
out,
bike?
Sure.
He said something undoubtedly more astonishing, which is he just built his first rail bike.
Okay.
Which is a bicycle that rides on train tracks.
Has he not just had a regular bicycle? Those will ride on regular train tracks. I not could be getting this wrong.
What? Yeah, yeah. I think Greg's right. I haven't heard of this.
But is it? I'm assuming
it rides on the rail.
Well,
it must ride
right,
on the
that's
rail.
That's right, on the rail. So he basically, so you know the thing that you, that
the hobo pumper.
Yeah, the hobo pumper, right.
Yeah. So he's making the hobo pump motion.
He removed the pump action
right.
with the cycling action. Right?
By the way, I'm thinking about getting a hobo pumper for anal August.
Well, let's make sure it has a flared base.
Okay, got it.
That was beautiful.
Without a base, without a trace. Beautiful.
Nothing to add.
Coco taught us anything. Coco taught us anything. Without a base, without a trace.
Yeah. So
and then he wrote, but then he wrote between two cities.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Here's my feelings about it. My initial feeling is fuck you and your pipe.
Sure.
Okay. Go stick your parrot up your ass.
Right.
Okay. That's my initial
feeling. Get your iguana out of this Starbucks.
Yeah, exactly.
The blank patch go to for weird on purpose. Iguana, iguana in a Starbucks.
However.
Oh, penny farthing.
However.
It's the iguana's name.
That's exactly right. I love it.
Come, Penny Farthing. I've got you your unicorn frappuccino.
There is an element to this in
There's
my
mind. There's a cockatiel
mind.
Down the street. I have my... Anyway, sorry. No, I've gone too far.
There's an element of Never. This in my mind of the triumph of the human spirit.
So, wait, can
like
I get some...
that guy who made his own bicycle-powered airplane that flew across the English Channel.
Mm-hmm.
There's something incredible to me. It's like a, to my mind, there's a part of it that feels like a remarkable solo. It's like a voyage of the Mimi,
right?
Sort of tale of survival, remarkable mode of conveyance story, like Kon-Tiki.
Is this guy? So this guy made one of these and is like illegally. Riding and around, is this like a danger sport?
You're not allowed on train tracks. Let's just put that
sure.
out there. Unless I believe you are a train.
Yeah.
That feels like the rules of the train track. Anything else barring train, I think that's dicey.
Sure.
Damsel in distress.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true. That's right. Yep. So that would be, yeah.
And or, I guess let's be inclusive, a Davesel in distress.
Well done.
Men can be in distress too.
That's right. But what I love is...
I once caught a Davesel in distress this big. That's the only thing I remember from the movie Dave.
Oh, yeah.
If you're just whipping along in a car and you look across the highway, right? And now we pan to a wide and there's just this dude and I kind of see, I feel like he has to pump a lot to go a short way.
Sure.
Hell so he's, he's really Wizard
Lots
of
Oz-ing,
and like he's right? And then that thing is just kind of moving along and you just go, what the fuck? And then you're done with it. Like you just, from the highway,
I love it. See
it's
that.
So bizarre.
There's also a part of it that I like because you take a bicycle and then you put train wheels on it. Mm-hmm. And it sort of reminds me of getting a new set of tires in RC Pro-Am for the Nintendo.
Sure.
Or possibly that remote-controlled truck where the claws came out of the wheels, which I believe was called the Animal, perhaps?
Yeah.
Both of those things, there's a part of it that I like because it feels like you're giving a cartoon superpower to a standard bicycle.
Well, and here's this. So I get up at 4:30-ish about every morning, and I have a beach cruiser, and I ride my bike around the valley, anywhere from 7 to 25 miles, right?
Cool.
And it is a bike that feels a lot like an old Stingray, It's got the ape hangers and it's got big fat tires and it's the pedals are front.
We get it. Like you exercise within the context of your personal aesthetic.
Right. But also the way it's set up is it feels like when I rode a bike as a kid before the advent of the, you know, 10 speed or a dirt bike.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So for him to get on a bicycle and then ride, and when you rode around, you're like, oh my God, this is pre having a car. This is what it feels like. So to know what the train experience is from the track, as a person riding on the track, that could be kind of great.
What's it like to be a train sexually?
Sure.
Well, my baby thinks she's a train. The Triffids, 1985.
Good year. Good year.
Oh, yeah. That was a great year for Triffids. Can I tell you one thing?
Mm-hmm.
It would be thrilling to be on one of those things and you go into a tunnel. You know what I'm talking about, baby.
I do, baby.
You know what I'm talking about, baby.
And a train's coming
the
other
tunnel.
Way. Oh, maybe
if
I didn't get
the reference. If a train hits the guy,
yeah,
is it endanger the people on the train?
Mm. No, I think it just
ruins the
backwards.
Life of the conductor who kills him.
Yeah.
He flies off.
I don't
thing.
Know. Does that, your weirdo thing have to be that dangerous?
It depends on how much front end there is. I mean, maybe it just knocks him backwards.
Yeah.
And he just goes home.
Whoa, yeah.
They're like, not in this town, friend.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the wheels look like?
He's got a I think they're huge. I'm sure.
Do you think they
not.
Go? Do you think they're like it's one wheel and it goes down clank onto the thing, or do you think it's like a big platform with a bicycle in the middle of it and he pedals and it's got four wheels?
Mm-hmm. That's the way I see it.
Yeah,
that's like
less good. I imagined it with two wheels that have like lips on the sides that go on top of the track and it goes around like that.
So he's just on one part of the track?
Yeah, that's why I was so excited about it. If it's just a hobo pumper with a bicycle instead of a pump, mm-hmm. that's not that great.
I guess I'm riding on the side of the train track.
I guess I am worried about the guy getting hit by the train, the people on the train being hurt.
Right.
Or the conductor's life being ruined because he looked at a guy who he killed.
Right. I worry about him suddenly being in a Chris Pine movie.
Sure. Right.
Maybe a train.
But Denzel's there. It's going to be okay.
Oh, it's going to be all right.
Denzel's
I love,
there.
I like Chris Pine.
A concern that I have is could this set back high-speed rail in California just through sheer embarrassment?
Could be.
Like, will people not support Governor Brown's plan to bring high-speed rail between Los Angeles and San Francisco because they're like, yeah, but did you see that guy
the
had
goofball
a bicycle
with
on
the...
it?
I would say that I'm worried, but I guess if anybody knows when his town's trains are coming, it's this guy.
It's the train cyclist.
Yeah. This guy probably spends a lot of time.
He must be so excited. We really
memorizing
squeezed a
the
lot
train
out of
schedule.
This. We really.
I hope he has one of those Tour de France helmets that sort of have a teardrop in the back. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah.
About?
And sure.
then you drop your helmet. You look like that helmet that the bad guys from Star Wars wears.
I never even imagined that he'd be. I was wondering if he's wearing the. Now I'm wondering, does he wear the bike stuff?
Oh yeah, sure. Like a sleek.
Yeah, like the unit.
Whatever it is, it has a Ninja Turtles logo
wrestling.
On it.
I imagine kind of a turn of the century minor look.
That's the way I felt too. Yeah, let's leave it there. He seems much cooler than that.
Okay, let's take our next call.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, go. This is Will in Chicago. I teach after school classes, and as the school year's wrapping up, sometimes I'll get a couple little gifts from students or their parents. And one of my students I've had for a couple years brought me a thank you card this year, and it were two $10 Panera gift cards. I gratefully went to Panera to buy some stuff with them, thinking I'd get some goodies with the honor gift card, only to discover that one of the gift cards had $8.78 on it, and the other one only had $2.50. So, I guess in total I had one $10 gift card, but I kind of wish I would have known that beforehand, but, well, he's eight. What does he know? Love the show. Thanks a bunch, guys.
Oh, that's fucking great.
Why do you...
Good for that kid.
So he's just re-gifting Paneras?
Yeah, that kid just got it. Or his mom?
Yeah.
Just somebody got a $10 Panera gift card.
Used a little bit
shit,
of it.
Then was like, ah, fuck this. Give this to your fucking. Give this to the soccer.
I can't eat any more broccoli cheese soup.
Yeah.
Or.
The stupidest Panera employee made the manager come over and go, did you put the tax in there yet? It's just $10.
Yeah.
Did you just give him an $8.75 card? Now he doesn't. It's a $10 card. You
right.
put the tax on top.
Yeah.
Now we got to give him. Oh, my God. Just give him another card. No, don't put it on another card. Oh, my God. And the person's like, I have to go. I don't care. I'll take both. Please. Can I please go?
Yeah. No, maybe you're right.
End scene.
That was.
I acted out both parts. The characters didn't sound a lot different. I apologize.
I mean, it's subtle. You know. You
are better than the real Don Johnson, in my opinion. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
That was incredible. Yeah,
I'm not saying I was auditioning, but I'm just saying.
People will know you as Nash Bridges.
Oh, my God.
And not him.
That would be helpful.
Let's take our next call.
Hello, Jordan, Jesse, and guest. This is Adam calling from Eastern Massachusetts with a momentous occasion that happened this morning.
I like your audience.
Bringing my son Benjamin to his daycare, and he was a couple feet ahead of me walking down the hallway carrying his little lunch bag. Gets to the door of his classroom, makes a hard left so he's square up to the door, facing the little handle right at 3-year-old height. Lifts his right leg and just kicks the door open like he's on a SWAT raid somewhere. Walks right into the room, drops his lunch bag and jacket right on the floor, and just melts into his class. Kids going to play. I was absolutely floored. I had two thoughts come to mind. One, who are you, and what did you do with my child? And two, please teach me to be as cool as you. Anyhow, thanks. Love the show.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Tell the kid needs a catchphrase.
Yeah.
How about, time to color, motherfucker?
Yeah, that's pretty solid.
That person is going to wear itself out when he drowns at Lake Havasu. I just thought I could take it to the dark place. He sounds like
a spirited
fella.
It's a concern.
Fella.
It's a concern.
Yeah.
This is a man.
He's already sure. I mean, that kind of a surety. I still don't have that kind of a surety in my own home.
Yeah.
Passions burn hot in the 3-year-old's classroom. I'll tell you that right now.
This is a man who will grow up to chug.
Yes.
This man has chugging in his future.
Yeah. Yeah. And he'll encourage others to also chug.
Sure.
He might even say, chug, motherfucker.
Yeah.
He might even say, you chug, motherfucker.
That could be his – maybe that should be his catchphrase right now.
Chug, motherfucker. Yeah, pretty soon he's just going to be kicking down the doors of Buffalo Wild Wings.
Everybody's got something to chug.
Yeah. You know
what?
We do all have something.
Or he wants to say, we're fucking – how about that for some fucking life advice?
Yeah.
Man, we just invented not just that into you.
Right?
Just not that into you.
Yeah.
Everybody's got something to chug.
Hey, if you're out there and you crochet
– yeah.
Send us a nice throw pillow.
Yeah.
With the slogan, everybody's got something to chug.
Everyone does have something to
chug. What are we going to do with all the extra throw pillows? Because we're going to get 500.
Yeah.
How about this? If you're out there.
You'll re-gift
and you
them.
Don't.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Maybe I could trade them
There's
at Panera for some
Panera
broccoli cheese soup.
Pillow. Everyone's got something to chug? What does that mean?
Miss Darlene at my son's preschool is just looking at the pillow like. I don't. What is.
You can take off the C and it just says hug.
Oh, that's a good point.
Everybody's got something to hug.
Yeah. Even if it's something lonely.
Yeah.
Like this pillow.
Yeah.
You got it. Well, we'll be back. That's a beautiful note to end this segment on.
This is nice.
We'll be back. Can we just feel this for a second?
Oh, good. My mushrooms are kicking in.
We'll be back.
Circular breathing.
Just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And Greg Barrett.
Greg.
Yeah.
It's nice to see you, friend.
Oh, it's always good to see you guys.
What a joy. You know what my only beef with Greg Barron is?
Hmm.
Looks better than me.
Doesn't come on the show enough. How about that?
Yeah. How about?
I know. I think I will come on here every time.
Hell yeah.
You are your own magical.
This guy's out here beach cruising.
Mm-hmm.
Beach cruising. He looks taut.
Mm-hmm.
He looks tight. He looks. He's got his signature hair is. Is fully present.
Well, that is very nice of you to say. But I am also, if you see me out there and you see a homeless guy on a bicycle, we do not look that dissimilar.
No.
We really don't. They ride the big bikes. They're old. They're lean. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
A little weathered.
That's a good point.
And they had a backpack. Yeah.
Probably both are wearing Van Halen t-shirts from the late 90s.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
The ones you didn't even, you were like, why do I have this?
That's all right. Well, you know, get out there on the bike. Gregory Barrett. At Gregory Barrett on Twitter.
That's right.
It's a fun place to check in with Greg Barrett.
Check in.
Yeah,
do
I'm touring.
It.
We're writing it. We have another book coming out called, it's called How to Keep Your Marriage from Sucking. And that'll be out probably by Christmas.
Hell yeah.
Greg Barron is a man you can rely on for some quality life advice that will actually be funny.
Because in between books, I'm out there making horrible mistakes and then mining them for books.
There you go. Yeah. And you're not going to have a you're not going to have a better time than going to see Greg Barron when he comes to your town.
Oh yeah, get out there,
Greg Barron out there working the road. Mm-hmm. Greg Barron knows how to come into town on a Thursday and kill all weekend, head back home to his family.
You're sweet.
With a big fat check.
Cha-ching.
Greg Barron knows how to handle a little bit of the old song and dance road show.
Hey, while we're plugging, can I just I want to talk about two very fun podcasts that I was on recently.
Oh yeah,
hosted by very cool people. They are new shows. I want to drive people to them. I will have to look at Facebook first. Jesse and Greg, vamp while I'm looking at this.
Well, I always love to check in on a podcast when my friend Jordan Morris is a guest on there, because you know why that is, Greg?
He's hilarious.
Yeah, because Jordan Morris is going to bring the heat. It's a fire hose every time.
Okay.
I guess a fire hose is for eliminating heat, but either way.
Yeah.
So, the fire hose. He never mixes
a metaphor.
Did you
say he brings the fire hose?
I wasn't even talking about the heat or the water. I was just talking about his crank.
Oh, right.
That's why I call it the fire hose.
You bring the fire hose.
Yeah. It suppresses protesters.
Oh my gosh, there's protesters.
I'll beat them back.
Yeah.
But what else could we do with this fire hose? Wait a minute. There's a disruption downtown.
Hey, I was on a podcast called Heaven Knows I'm Morrissey Now, hosted by Ed Salazar and Kate Dwyer. You go on and you talk about your favorite Morrissey song.
I love it.
I had a blast on that show.
Who doesn't like an Ed Salazar? I don't know Kate Dwyer, but
she's
Ed Salazar
too.
Is a real peach.
I know Kate Dwyer. She's funny.
Yeah, she's very funny. They're two great hosts.
I am glad that Los Angeles stand-up comedians are finally talking about Morrissey.
Right.
It's about time.
Yeah.
It really is.
It was a very fun show, and we even talked about how we like Morrissey's music, but realize that he's a real piece of shit now. Anyway, so that doesn't go unmentioned.
Yeah.
I had a friend who was in his band for a year, met him never.
I believe that. Yeah, he probably flounces out on stage.
That's right. Goes, that's it.
Not like the man was there playing the French horn.
No.
It wasn't just down in the pit.
No.
Of the Morrissey concert.
Some people may even refer to it as the engine of the band.
Yeah.
Nothing. A sideways glance every now and again. But that's it.
Yeah.
A really hilarious sketch comedian, Maddie Wagger, hosts a podcast called Fart This, where you have she describes the scenario and then you make a fart sound. It's a fucking blast. You should listen to it. It's like a party game where someone describes a fictitious scenario that has a fart, and then you make the fart sound. It's a lot of fun. These are all very fun people. New podcasts. Check them out.
Fart this.
Heaven knows I'm Morrissey now.
That sounds like a great time.
Blast.
Well, look, we're headed off to Max FunCon. It will be just in the books by the time this is finished. I want to encourage people who might not be coming to Max FunCon to come check out Max FunCon East.
Mm.
Still have some tickets available for Labor Day weekend. It's in the Poconos. Greg's been to Max FunCon.
I've been to Max FunCon.
You might have even been
Max FunCon on a boat.
You might have even been at like Max FunCon 1, maybe Max FunCon 2.
Maybe. I think it might have been 2.
Yeah.
I think it might have been 2. Whatever it was, it was fantastic time. Truly one of the best times. I feel like friends from that weekend.
It's hard to describe to people what it is without it sounding weird and confusing. It's like...
It is, but in a good way.
No, it's a manageable festival with a bed, and it's curated by people with taste.
Yeah.
That sounded judgmental at all festivals. That's not what I meant. That is not what I meant. But we're looking at you, Bumbershoot. I didn't really know what it
was. Hey, Bonnaroo, suck Greg Barron's fire hose.
How about that? The first time I went, it was like I didn't know what the experience was going to be, and I was like, this was singular and really, really great.
Yeah, it's like, you go and there's classes, talks.
Yeah,
and...
I took Roderick's songwriting class.
Oh,
there you go. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Roderick's teaching that this year.
Yeah, he's great. He's great at it. He's fun.
Roderick's going to be there. I guess the thing's already happened. Roderick's going to be on our friend Guy Branum's talk show, The Game Show.
Hey.
It's going to be a blast at Max FunCon, or will have been a blast by the time you hear this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so MaxFunCon.com for all the information, or just follow the hashtag MaxFunCon on Twitter right now. Like, type that into Twitter right now and see what people are saying about the time that they had this past weekend, and see what I like to have that time over Labor Day weekend in the Poconos, because it's going to be a hoot and a holler. That's how I would characterize it.
Yeah.
Hoot and holler.
Accurate.
Yeah. Even more fun than the Stagecoach Festival, which Greg Behrendt says can go right up its own asshole.
Oh, man. I was just hating on festivals, man. I'm going after all of them. Boo-hoo, meh, festival.
Oh, I'm Woodstock.
Meow. Oh, look
at
me.
I want to have a moat of Jell-O.
I'm for afternoon stand-up in a tent.
No tents. No tents at Max FunCon. No tents.
Well, let's see. Daniel Butterwell on the boards this week. Our good friend Sonny D, Brian Fernandez, producer of the program from all the way over in London, England, where, here's some shit we should plug.
Sure.
We're going to be at the London Podcast Festival. Find the information and ticket link at MaximumFun.org, London, England.
Yeah, do it.
Now, I'm going to be real. I'm going to give you some real talk. Prioritize this shit.
Sure.
Because we're flying 6,000 miles, and we do not have that many fans.
No.
So between those two things—
If you are listening to this and you are in London, you have to come.
Yeah.
If you all come, maybe we'll have a full house.
It'll be okay. As long as everyone comes—
You all have to come.
But you have to
maybe
come.
Maybe bring a friend.
This is not a thing that you can fuck around on, okay?
And we're not coming back.
No, absolutely not, because we won't be invited back.
This is the one time—
Not after
time.
You didn't come.
Come on. So just fucking— You have— Like 4 months, London.
I'm not saying Josie Long's going to be there, not least because I haven't emailed her about it yet.
But maybe.
But she probably will.
But maybe.
Let's be honest.
If she's in town.
She's a famous British comedian known for her charm.
Come to our show.
No, she's quite good.
Okay. MaximumFun.org. You can find information about that. At Jesse Thorne, at Jordan_Morris, at Gregory Behrendt.
B-E-H-R-E-N-D-T, at Gregory Behrendt on Twitter.
Holler at that guy. Yeah. You can find us on Reddit at MaximumFun.reddit.com and on Facebook, where you should join the Max Fun group. And you should like Jordan Jesse Go. And you should tell a friend about the show.
Tell a friend about the show.
Especially if they love storytelling and data journalism.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back next week on Jordan Jesse Go.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.